sick from it. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for their mom. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, laugh to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, cut trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I'm feeling kind of bummed out. This is my second last show. I don't even know how long I've been on UCY. It's been quite a while. And I want to thank Jules for all she's done for everybody for so long, be it at Oracle or Ryan or here on UCY.TV. It's going to be a sad day. When this network ceases to exist. But on the upside, someday, hopefully, Jules will get well. And that's all we can do right now is pray for her health. And hopefully she comes back stronger than ever. She'll be badly missed. She's done so much work for so many networks over so many years, and be badly missed. But I do believe that somewhere down the road, she will be back, and that will be another great day. Anyways, I was out handing out some platform flyers, libertarian platform flyers today. Put a lot of miles on my feet, I think, today. Handed out about, I don't know what it was, 350, 400 platform brochures, talked to quite a few people. And what I found was that, and it's good, it's good, I have to do these things just to get a gauge of where people's brains are at. And while most of the people I talk to know between little and nothing about politics, just the way the politicians like to keep it, God forbid if people should know what they were really up to. But, you know, the people generally that I talk to are beginning to have had enough. You know, they see the constant rise in the debt. They see the constant rise in homelessness and hunger. They see their hospitals crumbling and their school systems not working, and yet the debt continues to rise. So while they're out there working, busting their butts, trying to keep a roof over their families' heads and stay above board, the government keeps stealing their labor from them or their cash, and is just progressively making their lives more difficult all the time. And so people are beginning to go, what the what? And so people were quite happy to take a platform from me. And that was good. I don't expect to get a lot of votes because it's a a conservative NDP thing, and they're neck and neck, and the left wants their side to win, and the right wants their side to win, so that pretty much kicks everybody else to the floor. The vote count isn't really what I'm driving for. What I'm driving for is an opportunity to talk to as many people as possible over the last month or so, and to gauge where their minds are at. And I must say I'm quite pleased with some of the young people I talked to who agree that as far as they're concerned, the propaganda has a shelf life, and they agree that shelf life is about over. The propaganda is not sticking in the young people's heads as much as it was. I talked to some students at the high school when we were doing all candidates meetings, and in the last all candidates meeting I did at a church, and I was quite surprised with how bright these girls were. And the sad part is, it was girls. Not that that's sad, it's just that there was no young men stepping up to the plate. And I don't know what it is. Is it something in the water? Is it too much things containing plastic? I don't know what the hell it is. But the men and the boys, well, they kind of remind me more of girls than anything else. They're supposed to be the strong ones, but it seems to me that the girls seem to be the ones that are, picking up the ball here and running with it. Now, there was a protest down at Roxham Road on the 3rd. I guess it would be Sunday, this past Sunday. And it was led by a 29-year-old woman who had been down there before and had been beaten up by Antifa, because Antifa are so brave and strong. I'd like to run into some of these clowns somewhere and show them, what a pissed off Canadian actually looks like. And the police didn't help her, because Antifa is on the government side, on the global side, so the police protect this Antifa nonsense. And I actually allowed these clowns to beat up a 29-year-old woman and spit on her. But she got up and she put together this rally for last Sunday. And I think some 300 people or something showed up, mostly from Quebec, but from the East Coast and Ontario as well. And Antifa backed out of there because they weren't going to get anything accomplished. They're really chickens. Any man that has to cover up his face is a chicken, and that's Antifa. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the Antifa are actually police, you know. That happened at the, where was that, where did that happen? I think that was at the G20. There was people that were pretending to be, I can't remember if that was G20 or Bilderberg meeting, one of the two anyways, where some instigators turned out to actually be police. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of the Antifa members are police, and that's why they have their faces covered. Treasonous, treasonous, treasonous. So anyways, they had a very good turnout at Roxham Road, and the police behaved themselves, and Antifa kind of vacated the place. Somebody told me there was a banner there with 20 Antifa people behind it, with the police kind of guarding them, make sure they don't get hurt. And to date there has been no, absolutely zero media attention to this situation. It's like it didn't happen. And that's what the media's job is, to promote what the globalists want promoted, and to ignore everything else. So yesterday, I had to do a radio show, a mainstream radio show yesterday morning. And the parties are pushing this natural gas thing into rural Ontario where I live. A lot of towns don't have natural gas yet. And why would we need natural gas? We're sitting right beside the biggest or the second biggest nuclear site on the planet. I think it's still the biggest. So we shouldn't really need natural gas here. We should be, because we built the plant, we should be afforded very inexpensive electricity. But anyways, you know, the media, like the politicians and the churches and the schools and the judicial, always push the agendas they're told to push, and this is the global agenda, and they've been pushing it for many, 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 many decades. So when I was in the studio before we started the show, you know, I said, you know, you guys are as guilty as the politicians, because the politicians are out there pushing the idea of bringing natural gas to rural Ontario. You, the media, are pushing the same nonsense, when in fact it's not natural gas. It's called biogas. And biogas is much more expensive to produce than natural gas. Natural gas, you just got to pipe it to where you want it to go, and that's about it. Biogas, you have to collect materials, be it manure or bark or whatever it is, and build basically gasifiers, which cost a lot of money to build, and transportation costs for material and that. So cost-wise, for cubic meter, biogas is much, much, much more expensive than natural gas. So they're not telling the people what it is that they're bringing to rural Ontario. Now, they're going to start off with a fairly low amount, because they don't have it, and then as they build the biodigesters and that, they will bring the amount of biogas to natural gas up, with the idea eventually ending the use of any real natural gas or fossil fuel, as they like to call it. They don't want us to use anything really natural. I mean, we have more resources here in Canada than anybody else on the planet, by a long shot, but we're not allowed to use our coal. It's being shipped to the east to fuel the factories via the coal plants. I think there's 1,800 plus coal plants in China, and in Ontario we had 4 small coal plants, and we had to shut them down because it was harming the environment. While there's 1.2 or 3 billion people living in China, there's 14 million people living here in Ontario. 1,800 plus coal plants in China with no scrubbers on any of them that I'm aware of, and four coal plants here, and actually managed to convince the people that 1,600 people a year were dying in Ontario from coal plant emissions, which is totally wrong and phony, but it's propaganda, and eventually got the people to believe that it was necessary to shut down the coal plants for the health of the planet and the health of the people. I never told the people at the same time we were shutting down 4 coal plants, China was building 500. So now we don't use coal, Australia doesn't use coal, or at least I think it's Queensland, maybe all of Australia by now, it doesn't use coal. So while the Australians can't take advantage of cheap energy by the use of coal, and because we in the West really, well, there's still coal plants in the United States, but Canada, Australia, and other places not using coal anymore. So there's not really a market for the stuff. So Australia, Queensland, I think it was, cut a 20-year, $60 billion deal to ship the coal out of Australia over to China so they could fuel their 1,800-plus coal plants. Same thing here in Canada. We're shipping all of our coal out, and we're shipping our oil out, and we're shipping our natural gas out. And then we're going to use windmills and solar panels and now biogas to give us energy and at the same time save the planet. There's nothing wrong with a damn planet. There's something very wrong with people's heads, because they just keep getting sucked in and beat up over and over and over again. So this is the latest fraud to come upon us, and it is basically the same companies that were involved in building these wind farms that have driven so many people from their homes, and those that have stayed in their homes have been driven nuts, all kinds of health problems and that. Same companies that were involved in dipping into your pocket, right? Government doesn't have a pocket. The only pocket they have is the pocket they take and put your money into. So it is going to be like this. If you retrofit your home for natural gas, that's going to cost you a certain amount of money. And then you're going to be all happy that you're getting natural gas. And this is what's being played out by the government and the media, is that because of the 100% rise in electrical prices here in Ontario, which is a travesty, says everybody, except for the people that are involved in it, filling their pockets with your money. The biogas thing is being set up to operate exactly the same way. And it is administered by the same board, the Ontario Energy Board, which was constructed as a separate entity outside the reach of anyone in the province of Ontario. So the premier can't tell OEB what to set the prices at, nor can the Minister of Energy. They can only suggest to OEB, but they can't tell them what to set the rates at. And so this very same thing is going to, what took place with the windmills is going to take place with this so-called natural gas. And they're pushing the program as, building prosperity, I think it is, in rural Ontario, when in fact, of course, because evil is opposite to good, and what they're doing is opposite to what they say they're doing. They're not bringing natural gas, they're bringing biogas, and it will get more and more expensive as they bring more of it online. So, you know, anybody in my neck of the woods, which is basically southwestern, southwestern Ontario, my advice is do not retrofit your house over to gas, waiting for this miracle gas to show up, because they're telling you if you hook up, you will save a whole bunch of money on energy. It may be a little bit less expensive at the beginning, but the way it's set up is it's going to basically run up high like electricity. So it doesn't matter which one you use, you're screwed. And the idea is to get you to use less and less and less energy in order to save the planet, which is another crock of hogwash. But just like they are doing or they did with hydro, they're going to do with this biogas, and that's incrementally ratchet the price up, and then you're on the hook. So be very careful about, if you're living in southwestern Ontario or rural Ontario, be very careful about this so-called natural gas deal, because it's not. The government documents call it renewable gas, renewable biogas, and And the same people that were involved in hosing the good people through the wind farm scam are the same people that are going to be involved in the biogas scam. And the idea is basically to force you to use less electricity, less gas, less water, in order to save the planet, which is just a fallacy. It's not truth. And because when they cut these deals with these so-called energy companies, they're guaranteed a payback on their investment. That guaranteed. Doesn't matter how much they produce, don't produce, or anything else. So the problem becomes, the more you try to conserve, the more they have to put the price up in order to pay the people who are delivering this so-called service. And that's the same thing that happened to electricity. It's about to happen to your water, because the water is about to be sold off. The sewer systems are about to be sold off. A lot of municipalities spent large sums of money to retrofit their electric or their their electric and their other systems. So in the end, the more you try to conserve, the more the price goes up. And this is in documents by Rockefeller and Moore Strong and the like, that's how they're going to force you to basically use no energy and no water, is just to continually price point it up until you can't afford to use it. Now, as far as on the water side, Bechtel Corporation bought Bolivia's water system a bunch of years back, and they put the price up so high on water and energy, but it was mostly water in this case, that the people couldn't afford to pay their water bills. Some people started losing their houses, and that's the whole game that's going on here as well. And so some of the Bolivian people got ticked off, and they had their water cut off. And so they started collecting water in rain barrels from their roofs. And Bechtel stepped in and told them they couldn't do that either, because the contract states that all water in Bolivia, whether it comes from the watershed or it comes from an upper lake or a river, it doesn't matter. Everything's one now. And one load of crack of nonsense is what it is. So that's something to be aware of. I don't want to see anybody get hurt out in the rural areas again. So you're going to have to pay attention to it. Now, we have this other problem here, which is the right-left nonsense. And I wish people would come to the final determination of what right and left is. Right and left is right, left, right, left, right, left. It's a march. And it's a tyrannical march. And people perceive the left is doing one thing and the conservatives are doing, or the right doing something nefarious. That would be for the left-minded people, and vice versa for the right-minded people. What they don't understand is all of the parties are controlled, and they do as they're told to do. So this idea that Doug Ford is going to save Ontario, well, that's a fantasy land idea. These are the things that are going to happen here in Canada. A lot of people now at this point are thinking about moving to the States because they've shut their borders down somewhat better. We've flung ours wide open. But my attitude is this is your country, and if you're not prepared to defend your country, then you are completely useless to your country. This idea of fleeing what some perceive to be a sinking ship is, as far as I'm concerned, treasonous. And if we were on a ship, I would have no problem considering making people who won't stand up for the nation walk the plank. But it's looking like, at least tonight, it's looking like Ford is going to win the election. Now, people don't have much for memories. And they don't realize that, like, once a party's been in power for a while, they get mad at it and they want to get it rid of it, and they vote in the opposite, in this case is the right, thinking, well, they'll do better. But you have to understand that that right-left thing is two boots on a tyrannical body marching us to somewhere we don't ever want to arrive at. Some people are starting to get it, but for the most part, people are still split right and left. And if you divide a nation against itself, which has been done everywhere, it can't survive. Fracture the population. Make two sides. Have the two sides fight against each other. And watch the nation crumble, because as you're hating the right or hating the left, those who created the right and the left, those who control the right and the left, are just busy on with their agendas behind the scenes, so to speak. And people don't seem to understand this, because had they understood it decades ago, we wouldn't be in the position we are in today. So how are we going to get out of this position? Well, we're going to have to start asking questions. Why are they doing to us what they're doing to us? Why are they flooding our country with migrants, undocumented illegals? Well, because they were told to do so. It's part of the global agenda. Wipe out whitey. And drive everything down. You know, if you look at pictures different countries that have had this happen to them, it's always the same thing. You switch out the parties when people get mad, and you bring in the next party, but the same thing continues to happen, because these parties do not represent us. They represent the party, and in Canada's case, the crown, or the queen. That's who they represent. They don't represent you or me. Well, I was talking to a gentleman in the parking lot. Man, I'm tired. I walked that ton today. Holy jumpins. And it is cold out. It is brutally cold here for this time of year. And I guess I have to attribute that to global warming. Extremes in temperature. You know, it was, I think, got up as high as 9 today. It's supposed to be even colder tomorrow. And then it's supposed to warm up a little bit, but not that much. So it's cold out. And that's what I mean. The propaganda is starting to lose its grip, because we're well into a cooling cycle now. Last summer was very cool. And this summer, I think, is going to be quite cool. At least that's the way it's starting out. And they can tell the teachers. This is the kicker. They tell the teachers what to say. The teachers say what they're told to say. They don't even think about it. Don't question it. Don't say, no, I can't say that. They just do it. So even though we're in a cooling cycle, they're still pushing the man-caused global warming effect on the students. But the students can tell it's not getting warmer out. And that propaganda is just doesn't have the grip it used to have. So that's perfect. And the students are going to need our help to get the proper knowledge forward, and then we go from there. So over the next 4 years, it looks like we're going to end up with a conservative majority government, and the leader, Doug Ford, and his deceased brother, Rob Ford, when they were in Toronto Council, both signed on to an agreement to turn Toronto and other cities into sanctuary cities. In other words, harboring illegals, which should actually be against the law, but apparently whatever got written or rewritten, it's all just fine and dandy now. So the NDP candidate, the Liberals, have been in power here for 15 years in Ontario, and people are totally fed up with that nonsense. So then people have to make a decision about the NDP or the Conservatives. Now, the NDP are a left-wing party as well. So even though the Liberals are disappearing off the map, they may not even have enough seats to go sit in the legislature when this is over, because people are that angry what they've done over the last 15 years. But the Conservatives have signed the sanctuary papers, and the NDP, which is a new Democratic Party, which is basically left of Liberal, want me to basically keep walking the parking lot today, handing out these platforms. But the fact is that the NDP, which is really Liberal, wants to turn the entire province into a sanctuary province, just the same game that's being played in California, so that migrants don't end up in the cities, because the mayors of the cities are saying we're overloaded now, we can't deal with this. So that's a good sign. So they're going to just make Ontario a sanctuary province, so that illegal immigrants or migrants, as you like to call them, never gets to see the light of day. And through this program that both the Conservatives and the NDP want to bring forward, intend to bring forward, it's not a policy that was made in this province. It's from outside. You know, and that's no freaking good. Not even close to good. So as the migrants, as soon as this election is over on the 7th, the ramping of the migrant population move to Bjorn Bruce is going to freak people out. There's no other way to look at that. So here in rural Ontario, we are about to be flooded with migrants. Turning this into a sanctuary province means, you know, they had sanctuary cities, Toronto, Hamilton, London, Ontario, and several others, where illegals could go to those cities and basically be hidden. But given full health care, full medical, education, housing, food, and who's on the hook for it? Well, you and I. You know, they say the government has put this much money into housing and looking after these illegals. Well, the government doesn't have any money. The only money the government can possibly have is what they take out of your pocket. And most people are complaining that it's getting harder and harder and harder to get by, because they keep bringing in the migrants, and we're on the hook for all of their benefits. You know, if you're a migrant, you won't be homeless. If you're a Canadian vet or an American vet, you have a very good chance of being homeless. If you're an illegal, you won't go hungry. But if you're a Canadian who's lost his job or his house or whatever, there's a very good chance he's going to be at a food bank. But you're not going to find the migrants at food banks, and you're not going to find them living on the street. They're going to be well looked after. Free dental, free eye care, free hospital visits, all free. And we're paying for it. So, yeah, you should be very, very, very angry about what's going on. Now, where's the strength in this country or this province? I guess it's the women. I hate to say it, but I guess it's just the women. You know, when I posted a while back about the fact that they're gearing up to flood rural Ontario with migrants, you know, I'm still being called a conspiracy theorist and whatnot. But all I can say is it's really the demise of the nation we built. And it's being torn down using money that we work for. So it's just like we're entities of a corporation, which is true. And we are there for the benefit of others, that's true. Anyways, I don't know what we're going to do without UCY.TV. There's some really good hosts on here. And there's becoming a shortage of networks, and which is really depressing because, you know, I did, in the election run here, I did several mainstream radio shows and attended quite a few of these all candidates meetings. And except for the big three, the Liberals, Conservatives, and the NDP, they got all the press, and any other party was kind of just maybe mentioned, but really our platforms weren't allowed to be put forward except for one small outlet. And so it's difficult for the small groups to get their word out. They're not involved in the poll trackers. They're not involved in the media. They're just there. You know, so, man, I hope we can, you know, like, we got to stop this migration nonsense. I don't care what they do in the cities. They can do whatever the hell they want in the cities. But the rural areas are still quite pristine. And don't call me a racist, but very white. That's who our forefathers were. That's who we are. And we just laying down now and not protecting our borders, not protecting our futures, not protecting the futures of the children, grandchildren, those not yet born. We're just rolling over like a bunch of whipped dogs. And I don't understand, because, see, none of this stuff doesn't get in my head. But then I know the games that are being played. But for the average man or woman, it kind of freaks me out that they're having such a hard time understanding what's going on. I mean, the media is pumping this nonsense that we need these migrants to come into the area to fill all these non-filled jobs. Well, you ask people, Where are these non-filled jobs? There's lots of people looking for help. But our school system and our social system has basically told people they don't have to work. They'll be looked after by the government. Well, when your government has a debt twice that of California, when California has 40 million people, which is bigger population than the entire country in Canada, and Canada is the second largest landmass country on the planet, and our province only has a piddly little 14 million people, yet we got twice the debt of a state that has 40 million people in it. So regardless of which party wins this election, they've all said they're going to run deficit, which means the debt's going to get bigger. Add interest. So it's going to be very difficult to pay this down. Especially when the migrants are coming. So if they turn this into a sanctuary province, that means any number of migrants or illegals can show up in your town and demand housing, health care, dental, eye stuff, eye care, education, clothing, food, the whole nine yards. They have every right to do so, and we're on the hook to provide it. Yet, our own population is getting poorer by the day. Our middle class is being gutted out. But then that's the plan by the globalists, to make everybody dependent on the government for their food, their housing, their energy, their health care, and to give them the absolute minimum, because in the universal human rights it says everyone has the right to adequate. Well, who defines adequate? Well, they do. And they don't want you eating meat. They don't want you having a shower every morning or night. They want to, drop your caloric intake way down. They want to drop your use of energy way down and your use of water way down. The size of your housing way down. They want to kill your right to have a private automobile, your right to own private property. They even go as far as to say agriculture is unsustainable, because they want to drive you into the cities where they're going to grow your veggies in your apartment building, vertical farming. But we can't ever let them get us there, or it's over. So if you live in the city, then you're white, get the hell out. On up to rural Ontario and stand ground with us. And if you are in the rural areas, do not go into the cities for employment and that, which is what they want you to do. And then you can live in your little cubicle home and be hungry most of the time and have a life not worth living. Of course, then you'll probably suffer some serious mental stress. Oh, but that's okay, because all parties are guaranteeing that they're going to spend a small fortune, not a small fortune, a huge fortune on mental health care. Because you're full of anxiety now, you're not happy now. And therefore, we have just the drugs you need. And we got to get away from this stuff. We have to become more independently minded than we are today. Like that last all candidates meeting I did, well, all of the ones I did, people look really depressed. They look beaten. They looked like they didn't know which way to turn. But then they've been depending on the government more and more and more and more each year, each decade, until they don't know how to do anything themselves without the government. Well, that's just plain silly. Why would you want to be dependent on your abuser, which is the government? So I hope that these meetings I went to and these online radio shows that I did, I hope that I said something to them that would maybe plant a seed in their head to go ask some questions, to go do some research. That was my only aim in running, really, in the election. There's no way that this party's going to get elected, even though it does have a very good platform. But people have become brainwashed into thinking that the only ones who can save the planet or do the right thing are the government. Because they're the ones that caused all the trouble. You know, I try to get people to understand that these people who wish to construct this world government, those people, their groups, their entities, have killed hundreds of millions of innocent people to get what they want. And they're asking us to consent to what they want, according to Warburg in the 1950 Senate hearing. There will be a world government by consent or by conquest. And some of the people are worried here in this province that we need to be able to get our hands on firearms. So, we are going to have to pick up the pace here. I don't know. You know, America, I don't know why the American people, now that they have Donald Trump as their president, do not demand of Donald Trump, I mean demand of him, if he's the, you know, the leader, the king of America, and he says he cares about America, then prove it. Prove you care about America. Prove you care about the American people. Okay, turn the United Nations into housing units for the homeless and homeless vets. And kick the United Nations off American soil. Take the Trilateral Commission and flush that down the toilet. Take the Council on Foreign Relations and give it a boot as far as you can kick it. Because as long as those three entities are on American soil, you ain't a sovereign nation. I mean, it breaks me up that Trump is, he's saving the country. Well, not really. Because if I was the president of the United States, the very first action I would take would be to get the UN out and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Global Affairs out. You can look at that as your shadow government. I mean, there's another shadow government, which is the bankers and the crown, lawyers, liars. But you can deal with those people. But to have the very people who are, you know, teaching your children that global warming is real, that no, you're not a little boy, you're actually a little girl, and so on and so forth. This idea that you open your borders to everyone. Now, I know Trump have basically shut the borders down. I don't know about the Mexican side of it, but we still have that huge problem. You know, the United Nations, which all nations are member states of. Okay, and if you're a member state of a higher up organization known as the United Nations, then you are in the subservient position. You're in the child position, and the UN becomes the parent. And the child does what the parent tells it to do. And that's a big problem. I mean, your health comes out of the WHO. The World Bank is a part of the UN, IMF. FAO is the Food and Agricultural Organization, which basically controls your farmers. Now, the all of these policies and that may emanate from your federal or state government, but, or at least it looks like it emanates from there. But all they're doing is doing the bidding of the globalists who set up the UN. And when they make policy for health or education or agriculture or anything else, that's coming from outside. It's not an inside policy. It's an outside policy being foisted upon the people of your country. Therefore, you're not a sovereign nation. Got to give these guys the boot. So what I like to see is a massive letter-writing campaign to the President Donald Trump that we can't take anything you say or do seriously if these three entities are still sitting on American soil. You can't take it seriously, folks. We have to get the sovereignty of our nations back. Now, I have a document somewhere here from the Rothschilds. They're a little bit concerned about this nationalism that seems to be gaining traction, and that it is in fact a problem. If I can dig that out here, that's the Rockefeller Foundation. Where is what I'm looking for? That's the FAO. Somewhere in this pile of tabs I have open is a piece. Is this it? Yeah. This is from Edmund de Rothschild. And somewhat concerned about protectionism. The risk of protectionism is driving volatility, because protectionism goes against what the globalists want. If you're a protectionist country, you're trying to be a sovereign country. You've shut your borders down. You control your trade. And if someone's trying to flood your country with low-cost products, then like in the old days, you put a tariff on it. And this is, I guess they're aiming this nonsense at the United States, because the United States is, you know, is becoming a protectionist country. Our concerns, this is Edmund de Rothschild's site, our concerns that volatility was about to return led us to start 2018 with more neutral exposure to risk assets. There were two clearly identified sources of tension, fears, and inflationary pressure in the U.S. and the risk of a revival in protectionism. U.S. inflation is undoubtedly trending higher, but we have to keep things in perspective. The market reaction to January's weekly wage data in the U.S. was so violent that we decided it afforded a good opportunity to rebuild equity market exposure. We took the view that monthly data can often be erratic, so it would be rash to read too much into the very latest batch to appear. What's more, the Fed itself is expecting inflation to rise, which is why it is mulling 3 and now perhaps 4 rate hikes this year. But inflation has so far always fallen short of expectations, so it would first have to rise at a quicker pace to meet the Fed's scenario before we should start worrying about overshooting. Markets had also become technically fragile due to massive puts on volatility indices. Washington's introduction to import duties on steel and aluminum has, for the moment, only been symbolic, as it will have no visible impact on the global economy, but a race to protectionism most probably would, even if it is objectively tricky to gauge to what extent. At any rate, investors are in the doubt and are currently factoring the risk premium to reflect the possibility of a trade war and all the consequences it might have. For the moment, we believe it is too early to overplay this risk, even if we are likely to see other twists and turns. So basically, the resignation of a free marketer like Gary Cohn clearly raises a number of questions over the Trump administration's protectionism intentions. But we should remember that the midterm elections later this year look like being difficult for the Republican Party, and it's quite possible that the president wants to send a message to those who, to the Rust Belt workers who in 2016 voted for a Republican candidate. And this goes on. I should put this into the, I think I will put this into the chat. You might find it interesting. Basically, what it's saying is that these people from outside your nation have the ability to stop or intercede in the dealings of what's supposed to be a sovereign nation. And that's dangerous. And that's why I say you can't be a sovereign nation if you don't run your own banking affairs and you don't and you don't have control. You don't have control. It's your country that decides what you're going to let into your country, whether or not you're going to put tariffs on it. Not the Rothschilds, not the international bankers, not the UN, not the Trilateral Commission, not the Council on Global Relations, but you, the people. And if you fail in any of that, then you're controlled from outside. These are the guys that decide when they're going to crash the market, when the market's good, when there's a depression. That's control from outside. You don't have control of your own nation. The only way you can have control of your own nation is to set your own rules and regulations, not have them set at the international level. And as long as you're a member state of the United Nations, they are the ones that set the playing field. And all of your politicians that just become puppets. Because at that point, they do not, cannot represent the people. So today is the 5th, tomorrow is the 6th. So my next show will be on the 7th, which is the election here in Ontario. And the polls may be closed before the show is over tomorrow night. So it'll be on the 7th. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. So I think we're about, I know we are out of time. So thanks for tuning in. Check out the
I'm selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for them more. They shoot.